Welcome to Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Venice, Florida. Today is Sunday, March 17th, the fifth Sunday in Lent. Father Joe Hudson's sermon this morning is entitled, Only the Journey of Dying Can Lead to Life.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now among those who went out to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is not for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
O God, open our hearts and minds and souls to hear. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Jesus knew the path well. It was one through the journey of many deaths that true life is meant to be found. The festival of the Passover was now at hand. The air was filled with much jubilation and excitement. But despite the people's festive mood, Jesus stood there on the temple grounds, somber, troubled. His mind was preoccupied, his heart was heavy. He spoke to his dearest friends, his disciples. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I can envision Jesus pausing in that moment, allowing his words to sink in. The 12 may have been thinking, glorification? That only occurs on the other side of death. Was Jesus saying in some cryptic way that his death was drawing near? The hour has come. For many months, Jesus had been saying the exact opposite, that his time had not yet come. He said it to his mother, Woman, my time has not yet come. He said it to his brothers, My time has not yet come. And now he seemed to be saying plainly that his time had come, the time for his glorification and the death that must precede it. The thought left them all with a deep sense of foreboding. Then the disciples' ears really perked up when Jesus spoke his next words, Amen, amen, I tell you. Amen, the word meaning truly or verily. Truly, truly, I tell you, the word repeated added great weight to what Jesus was about to say. He was telling them, Listen very closely to what I'm about to say to you. The disciples immediately focused intently on Jesus' next words. He said this, Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. I can imagine the disciples looking quite perplexed at these words. They may have been thinking, what? That was some profound truth? A grain of wheat planted into the earth producing more fruit? Why, you don't have to be a farmer to know the grain of wheat has to die in order to sprout and multiply. How stupid does Jesus think we are, anyway? But you see, Jesus was just warming to his point. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Then Jesus began to speak plainly of his pending death. He was laying out before them a deep and profound mystery, two paths that humanity can choose, one that leads to abundant life, the other to death. But Jesus seemed to be getting it all backwards. The one path that leads to true life and fulfillment and abundance, Jesus said that the path that is found by choosing death. And the second path, the one that should logically, in our human way of thinking, lead only to death, that is the one that leads to life, to a fullness of life that is meant to be lived now and on into eternity. To the disciples that day, and to all of us, especially as Americans, this profound contradiction often runs against the grain. After all, the American dream, stated clearly in the second paragraph of the first article of the Declaration of Independence, reads this way: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As American citizens, we hold these words dear. We have a right to a fullness of life that cannot be stripped away from us. We have a right to freedom that cannot be taken away. We have a right to happiness that we should fight for. And yet, Jesus seems to flip this line guaranteed in the Declaration of Independence on its head. He tells us, you want to have life? Then choose the path of self-renunciation and death. You want to have freedom? Well then, surrender yourself like that of a slave to others. Jesus himself lived out this contrary way of life, a way that he calls us as well to follow. It is stated in the scriptures, in the letter to the church in Philippi, we are told this: you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. Jesus showed many examples of this path of downward mobility, of a path toward self-sacrifice and death. On that last meal that they had together, while sitting there as their Lord and Master, he became a servant to them all and washed their feet. Jesus always did what was not necessarily best for him, but was best for others, fulfilling the will of his Father. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. One of the many followers of Jesus Christ who lived this sacrificial life was a man named Patrick. Tradition says that he died on March 17th, towards the end of the 500s. He was born, most likely, in Scotland. At the age of 16, he was captured by Irish pirates who took him back to the Emerald Isle and sold him as a slave. 6 years later, he finally made his escape and began the arduous journey home. He recounts a vision he had a few years later. I saw a man coming, as it were, from Ireland. His name was Victoricus, and he carried many letters, and he gave me one of them. I read the heading, "The Voice of the Irish." As I began the letter, I imagined in that moment that I heard the voice of those very people, and they cried out as with one voice, "We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us." Patrick's vision seemed to be calling him back to the very place where he had been held bondage and enslaved. It seemed to be a very hard calling for him to follow. And yet, because Patrick had already sold himself as a slave to Jesus Christ, had already been planted as a kernel in the earth to die, he said yes and followed God's call to return as a missionary to Ireland, where he eventually became a bishop. Now I'm seeing several of you out there who are recognizing this Patrick as well today. You look at me on my garments and you say, "Sure, he's not." Speaking, right? Our society frequently teaches us to seek out what is best for us, to seek prosperity and success, to climb the corporate ladder, to stand up for our rights, to seek the path of life. But Jesus is calling us to follow him on a different path. And so on this different path, when our fears and our insecurities get the better of us and hold us back from taking risks that we need to take, we choose the path of self-renunciation and step forward into that risky place. But on the other hand, we are tempted to stand firm, immovable in whatever position we hold to. We follow Jesus' way of humility and self-sacrifice and consciously decide to yield our ground. We are called in this life, you see, time and time and time again, to a path of downward mobility, a path of self-renunciation and self-sacrifice and humility. And by the way, no, this does not always mean that we act as a doormat to others. Jesus was far from that. Sometimes this downward way is a way of standing up to others and speaking our truth. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit.